as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, which he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Everybody say, strong in faith. Giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. I want to talk a little bit today about focused faith. Focused faith. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Focused faith. Anything that has focus becomes more powerful. A laser is actually, it stands for light wave amplification by simulated emission of radiation. That's what laser is. It's light that is focused and amplified until it becomes so powerful that it can cut through almost anything. And the interesting thing about laser is that it can be focused at certain points. And like laser surgery, it can cut beneath the surface. It can pass through one surface and focus on something underneath, and that's where it can actually be intensified, amplified, and do work there. It can pass through skin to a certain organ, and it can actually do work there without scorching what it goes through. And that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's the focus of light. They have worked until they're able to focus light to the point that just something as simple as light waves can literally cut through steel. It's powerful. It's amazing what laser can do. And laser impulse. They're even working on making weapons out of laser because it's a powerful force. You can do the same thing with water. Water can be focused so much. You take an old river that's lazy, and it's wide, and it doesn't have any resistance, and it's got wide banks. It's almost harmless. It's a little different than a lake. But you take it, when you begin to narrow the banks, and they get steep, and the water gets deep, and it becomes focused, and it has more force as it goes forth. And now, the logs that lay lazily in the stream, suddenly they're rocketing down a chasm because it gains force. And the more you try to contain the force of the water, the greater the force becomes. You can actually take water, and you know this you ever have one of those little garden hose, you just squeeze it and you turn it a little bit, and it becomes more powerful and more powerful and more powerful. When you widen the stream, it loses power. When you focus the stream, it becomes more powerful. You see, the firemen with their hoses, and they turn the hose, and they focus until it'll reach great heights. And you can actually amplify water until it can literally cut through forces and things that you would never think water could do. Something as simple and something as harmless in water can become literally a weapon when it's focused. And then you take faith. The more you focus faith, the more powerful faith becomes. When you just simply say, well, I have faith. Well, that's a great statement. And we do have faith. Everybody has faith. Amen. Every time you turn a light switch, it means you have faith. You have faith that the electric company is going to keep power coming to your house. Isn't that right? You have faith in TXU or whoever you pay your electric bill to. And you have faith. Amen. Every time you turn on your water faucet, you have faith in your water company. Every time you turn the key in your car, you have faith in the manufacturer of your automobile. So we do have faith. It's a very general force. But when you begin to focus faith, and you have to say, well, I have faith in God, that's a good faith. But you can focus your faith even more than that. Depending the focus of your faith depends on the depth of your relationship with God and what you know about God and what you have learned about God, and the longer you walk with God and the more you experience God, the greater the focus of your faith. That's what happened to Abraham that we're talking about here today. Abraham walked with God, and Paul makes it very plain that it was a walk of faith. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now that was a great promise. But it took some faith, Brother Fry. The Bible tells us that Abraham lived in a land of idolaters. Where did this faith even come from? Amen. How did he arrive at this faith? And I don't know why God selected Abraham. It wasn't because he was a better man than other men. Amen. But God issued, just like he is here today. Did you know every time we come together, God issues a challenge by faith, and some receive it and some do not. Some act on it and some do not. Every time we preach the promises of God, some people say yes, and they believe and they receive, and others do not. It's the same with Abraham. God sent out a call. Abraham heard the call, and Abraham said yes. Abraham said, "I believe." Amen. And he didn't just say it, but he focused his faith. And he said, "Honey," he said, "pack the bags. It's time to go." Amen. And so they got their stuff together. And the Bible says they struck out. The Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that he was called to go into a place that he should receive for an inheritance. He obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. Now this is quite a journey, folks. I'm not talking about a Sunday afternoon drive here. I'm talking about striking out with everything you have, and they didn't have an automobile, they didn't have highways to drive on, and they didn't have Dairy Queen to stop and get a blizzard. I mean, they're on a journey, and a life-changing journey. He didn't even know where he was going. God just said, "I'll let you know when you get there." Now that's a lot of faith, isn't it? He just took off and he walked 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 and I'm sure in his mind he was like a kid saying, "We there yet? We there yet? We there yet?" Amen. God just said, "Keep going, Abraham." It's a lot of faith. A lot of faith. Amen. He took his daddy, which was against the commandment, but he took him anyway. And his father died. And he said, "We there yet?" And he said, "Keep going, Abraham." And finally he got to a place that God said, now beginning right here, he said, "From here on out, everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you." Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. And Abraham focused his faith. And God blessed Abraham. Amen. Because he focused his faith. He followed the calling of God. And Abraham kept believing. The Bible said he hoped against hope. Because what I'm saying is, everything that it looked impossible to do what God said he was going to do. And when the Scripture says that his body was dead, it was talking about his ability to reproduce. I mean, the guy's 100 years old. There's no way that he can produce a child with a wife that's 90 years old. And as far as human possibility is concerned, there's no way that's going to happen. But the Bible said in spite of that, he kept believing it. He kept believing that one day, he was going to, when he's 99 years old, he's still believing, "Hey, I'm going to have a boy here in a few days." Amen. And Sarah's 89 years old, and she said, "That's right, honey." Amen. It looks ridiculous. I'm sure if anybody heard them talking, they would have laughed and said, that's impossible. But you know what? Abraham looked at that which was humanly impossible, and then he looked at God and he said, but God made me a promise, and I know it's impossible for God to do. It's impossible for God to lie, and so I'm just going to have to go with God on this one. And I know that humanly it can't happen, but God said it was going to happen, and I'm just going to go with what He said. I'm just going to keep believing what He said. I'm just going to keep doing what He said. He focused his faith not on the impossibilities, not on a hopeless situation, but he focused his faith on what God said. That's how you focus your faith, folks. You don't look at the situation. You look at what God said. What did God say? What did God promise? Look at God's Word, and you focus on that, and that alone. And you focus your faith on the Word of God. That's exactly what Abraham did. He focused on the promise. And he didn't waver. The Bible said he didn't stagger at that. I like that word, stagger. Amen. Stagger, you know, that's when you run headlong into something and it knocks you a little loopy. Amen. He ran headlong into the facts. I'm 99 years old. I don't have a boy yet. Amen. It kind of staggered him a little bit. He said, but you know what? I'm going to believe what God said. I'm still going to believe the Lord anyhow. Amen. And guess what? Amen. He said, as long as there's sand between my toes, God said, my seed's going to be just like this right here. There's going to be more little Abrahamites around than anything. They're going to be everywhere before it's all said and done. Amen. They became known as Jews. And he said, God said they're going to be like the sand by the sea. Amen. And if he got any doubt, he'd just walk along the sand and he'd say, woo, this is a bunch of kids, isn't it? Look at this. Woo! Kids everywhere. Amen. Hey, honey, let's take a stroll on the beach. And then he'd say, look at all this sand. And then he'd say, see those stars up there? He said, you can't even count them, can you? And he'd say, God said, our seed's going to be like the stars of the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't look at his old withered body and his inabilities. He said, but God said. But God said. But God said. Amen. Folks, if we understand the Word of God and focus our faith on what He said, that's when you start receiving what you need. Amen. Don't focus on the impossibility of the situation. But look at what God said. Amen. A missionary told us a story about a Bible school student. He was in a very poor country, Africa. And he came one day to the missionary. And he said to the missionary, he said, I received word today that my mother died. And he said, I'm getting ready to go home to be with my family. He said, but do you believe God can do anything? Now, that's a tough question to answer, isn't it? And the missionary said, yeah, God can do anything. He said, well, could he raise my mother up? And he said, well, yes, he could. And so the boy took a handkerchief out of his pocket. And he said, I want you to pray over this handkerchief. And I want us to believe that when I get home and I lay this handkerchief on my mother's body, that she's going to live again. Well, the missionary prayed. I'm not real sure how strong his faith was. But he prayed. He believed God could do that. I believe God can do that. You believe God can do that? He believed God can do that. And so now that's not focused faith. To believe that He can, and that's a little focused, but it's not focused enough. You got to believe that He will. And so this young man took the handkerchief and he went down and he got on the train. And he's holding that handkerchief dearly. And people on the train began to ask him, why are you holding the handkerchief? And he would tell them, he said, my mother died, but we anointed this handkerchief with oil and we prayed. And he said, this handkerchief is full of prayers. And he said, when I get home and I lay this on my mother, she's going to come back to life. And of course they felt sorry for him. Some even scoffed at him. But that didn't, he just kept focusing his faith. Just kept believing that. And when he got off the train, he looked like the Pied Piper. You know, a lot of people got off the train with him. They said, "We don't believe that, but we just want to see." So they all went down to his poor little humble house. Got there, brothers and sisters, families there. Everybody's crying, weeping. And he goes in, he gets the handkerchief, and he tells his family, he said, "This handkerchief is full of prayers." He said, "When we lay this on Mom, she's going to live." And his family didn't believe it. So he goes in where his mom is, and he takes that little handkerchief, and he lays it on her body. And then he focuses his faith on God. He doesn't look at the impossibility. He doesn't listen to what people are saying. He closes his ears to doubt. And just in the very simplest faith, he just really, really believed that God was going to do it. And he laid that handkerchief on that lifeless body. And the missionary said that the lady sat up, opened her eyes. Amen. And he began to witness to his mom about this great plan of salvation. She said, "I want to be baptized." And they went down to the river, and a crowd of people followed him down to the river. And he baptized his mother. She received the Holy Ghost. Other people said, "I want to be baptized." Amen. And they had a revival in that village, all because somebody focused their faith. Amen. To a cutting point and a powerful point. Amen. Amen. And so I'm just simply saying today that it's to have faith is a good thing. But if you have a need in your life, you need to focus that faith. And you just not say, "Well, you know, I believe God can do anything." That's great. But can He do the specific? Can He heal your sickness? Can he deliver you from your situation? Can He provide your need? Can He fill you with the Holy Ghost? Amen. What do you specifically need from God today? That's what we're talking about here. Not just a general faith, but specifically, what do you believe God's going to do for you? Let's stand together. That's focused faith. That's focused faith. Let's everybody focus that today. Would you do that right now? Amen. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? And let's just focus our faith on God. Amen. Just focus your faith on God. If you have a sickness in your body, you know what the Scripture said? It said, "By His stripes we were healed." Amen. That's right. Peter said we were healed. Amen. So if you have a need of healing, there's healing for you in this house today. Praise God. And if you'll just come down here, we'll pray for you. Amen. And I believe that God is still in the healing business. And He will heal sicknesses. Hallelujah. He'll take care of nations this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just focus your faith on God. Amen. Beyond anything else. Amen. Look at the impossibility. And then look at the greater impossibility that God would break a promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's believe Him today. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Anybody got a need you want to bring to Jesus? Anybody have a need you want to bring to the Lord? Hallelujah. Bring it into focus right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just bring it to the Lord right now. He's in the house. The healer's here. The Savior's here. The deliverer's here. The provider's here. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now. You're the great physician. And I ask You to heal Brother Morris today. You see the need that he has in his physical body. You know what he needs right now. And I ask You in the name of Jesus to heal him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We know that You're able, oh God. And we have a promise of Your healing. And I trust You right now. And I believe You. to go into this body, God, and heal this condition and make him well today. Hallelujah. Take away pain and symptoms. But most importantly, go to the very cause and become the cure that he needs today. Heal this body in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it right now in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray right now for Sister Covey. You see the sickness that's in her body, and you are the great physician. You have done miracles before for her, and I'm asking you again to do it today, right now, God, that you would heal this body. Go to this condition right now and reverse every symptom. Curse, oh God, the very cause. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, be well. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I thank you right now. Yes, Lord, we thank you for it, oh God. And we give you praise. And we give you praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Great physician, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise, shall we? Let's give him thanks today. Hallelujah. He's a healing God. He's a healing God. Let's give him praise right now. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We honor you, O Lord. We give you thanks today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, you're the great physician, healer of our bodies. I come against sickness in her body today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we come against it in the name above all names, in the healing name, in the restoring name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Lord, I pray right now, take away infection and healing in this body. Take away the symptoms of sickness. Amen. And right now, Lord, let her be healed. Let her be completely whole. Make her well today. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I believe you. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I bless you, O Lord. I bless you, O Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's pray right now.